Hey everybody, welcome to another Crypto Sparta podcast episode. I think that this one will be somewhat of a Go Bazinga podcast, but as usual, we'll start off from the top and look at kind of the rough bear market stuff.
Yeah, we're definitely in a downtrend. I don't know if you can say bear market, it's only been like a month or so. But Bitcoin is, you know, went down to 38,000. It was at like 43, but now it's below 40. It's at 38,000.
ETH at 2.7?
Yeah, ETH's at like 2,600. Oh. It's like below 3,000.
I don't even look anymore.
Yeah, it's everything is crashing. I mean, crashing. There's a lot of macro stuff behind, like world, global effect that's affecting not just, you know, crypto markets, but, you know, the U.S. markets too. There was a funny meme.
They're kind of also getting screwed, aren't they?
Well, who's getting screwed?
I mean, stocks. I mean, I saw all
U.S. stock market is just as bad as the crypto market. So it's not just the crypto market.
Yeah. Where it's like, oh, is this a rug pull on a shitcoin? No, that's Facebook.
No, so the co-founder of Paradigm, which is a VC, Matt Huang, he posted, he was like, look at these, these coins. Are they listed on Coinbase and FTX? But they're basically like U.S. traded, like AMC down 60%, BlackBerry.
GameStop, Roblox,
Like Facebook crashed like 25% in a day. Like, you know, that's very crypto-esque. So it's not just crypto that's down. So it's all this like macro stuff, you know, Russia's threatening to invade Ukraine and there's a lot of uncertainty around that.
Invade Ukraine, they're sending troops to make sure that the free regions get to have fair elections.
the separatists of Ukraine, they're recognizing them as
the Donetsk and Lugania have the right to have their own fair elections if they want to join Russia, and the Russian troops are be there to make sure it's okay.
We're just gonna shoot some missiles, military exercise, right, very close to the border. So a lot of countries, you know, the EU announced a lot of sanctions. U.S. Announced a lot of sanctions today. So there's a lot of economic impact. And now we know that war is not good for the markets. Like, this is probably, we were probably too young, or at least I was too young to remember how 9/11 or, like, you know, us invading Iraq, like, affected the stock markets. But this is, like, my first experience of how war is like.
Oh, and some people are like, oh yeah, like people are gonna be bullish and like move into Bitcoin to, like, there were the Canadian trucker protests as well.
Oh yeah, that was also happening.
Yeah, it's been a bit since we've done, like, that's why we got to keep it to the weekly podcast to stay on top of things. But they're saying, oh yeah, people are gonna be resistant to, like, holding fiat and banks. And it's like, well, actually, still at the end of the day, people still just want cash underneath their pillow, you know?
Yeah.
And so
the, like, old shoebox.
They overestimate the narrative of, like, Bitcoin. Like, yeah, it's digital gold for people that are smart, that know how to use it. And there's still so many people that have yet to be onboarded.
It's just like, the 1% own like 90% of the stock market. Like,
exactly.
Like, the everyday person in Alabama or, you know, in rural Midwest is not, or even like in rural India is not buying crypto and getting a Coinbase account.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's all this like overarching government, you know, news that's like kind of scaring people about crypto. That's just affecting the overall markets.
Yeah, no. I mean, even Russia, they were talking about how, like, yeah, they're going to bring Bitcoin to the front or whatever. And I saw it was definitely like a fake tweet where it was like Vladimir Putin's going to move to the Bitcoin standard so he can avoid American sanctions. And like, yeah, I don't know what's happening politically, but like, it seems like the Americans are just going to fucking sanction them and not do shit. Or
that's pretty hard to, I mean, that's pretty fast moving considering how like they just banned cryptocurrency like a month ago. And now they're just going to lean in and, buy a ton of Bitcoin to avoid sanctions. Like, I don't think they can set up their infrastructure.
You guys are idiots, man. Look at Putin. Just fudding his own bags to buy the dip. How do you guys see the market? Because it's interesting. I've been hanging out in India a lot.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest. Psycot is the closest to like hanging out with Brian that I've been, where I can actually talk to one person that understands what's going on in crypto. No one in this country understands the markets or NFTs. And I'm going to like flatter him better than him, but I'm not saying that that's actually good. Like, he's the only one that I can actually talk to about this stuff. So I'm curious as to his take on like what. Right.
So the thing is, this is just a short-term reaction to things like war and things like disasters happening, right? So in this particular case, this actually makes the case for Bitcoin or decentralization even stronger in the long run. However, you also have to look at how people are actually interacting with Bitcoin today. And a bunch of these price falls have actually happened due to the fact that people are leveraged out of their minds, and they have all these leveraged trades that are open on exchanges like Coinbase and Binance. And what happens is when something like a black swan event happens, this triggers a lot of stop losses. It sends the market into a spiral. And then people again try to make up for those losses by shorting the market even further, right? So that leads to these short-term price movements, but in the long run, long-term, it just makes the case even more bullish.
He's a long-term investor, and like, maybe we can just go into having him discuss. I wanted him to discuss Gobazinga, but also...
Well, I was about to say... I was about to say how, like, you know, in this bear market, you see a lot of less tweeting. And then this is where a lot of the building happens for all these companies. Like, there's not all this pressure, from Twitter or, like, you know, telling you how to run your company or how to build. You kind of can just, you know, build in peace. And then this is where, you know, kind of the true companies come out and show their guns, right? Where you can just build and, you don't have that outside pressure, and you can just, you know, really focus on your project. And this is where, you know, as an investor too, where you can just, you find the stuff that you believe in, and then you just slowly buy in and, you know, DCA. Because this is where...
We looked at a lot of the times we looked at how the general market goes and then what is the anomalies and what's outperforming. And yeah. Luna, you were saying, right?
Yeah,
they were like high, plus 0.2% when everything else was down like 10 the other day.
Well, yeah. So pick your high altcoin where it's like they're mostly down like 40%. Avalanche has been kind of above average, but still down from, you know, what it has. And then Luna just had some bullish news today where they were able to raise, $1 billion from VCs like Jump, who invested in the wormhole. And they were a big VC in the wormhole bridge. And then Three Arrows. A total of like 24 whales invested a total of $1 billion, setting up a Bitcoin reserve, backing UST. And so they had to buy Luna at like an average price of 51. So that gave it a 10% bump today. Wormhole just announced that you can bridge from Terra to Solana too. So
really?
Yeah. So there's...
Like, I'm just like,
and we didn't talk about this last time too. Luna,
yeah, Go ahead.
Aluna announced the has a partnership with, you know, Washington Nationals to have like you know, 50 million ad marketing partnership. You know, they're gonna have their own like it's the Terra like luxury suite or luxury club or something, and so that's right by DC too. And so in baseball season, if they pass that, you know, they're in a lockout or kind of labor dispute. But
they're gonna start doing, you know, they're getting next to DC, and they're gonna start. Hopefully, the funds start to like change some minds over.
There's gonna be a big Terra Luna sign outside the ballpark, right across, you know, DC. And so there's a lot of stuff happening still. It's like you can't predict. I read something where it's like you cannot predict, you know, past failure on, you know.
Future success, yeah.
Yeah, on future success. So it's like this past bear is like totally different like 6 months ago. Like it's crazy. You can't really compare 6 months ago and how things will react.
This time is different.
Yeah.
But no, I also saw when you were just before I forget, yeah, Sony and Man City are building the first soccer stadium in the metaverse. I don't know if it's on Sandbox or whatever. And like, man, my NFT project, Swaggertooth, shout out Swaggertooth, launching soon. Yeah, our NFT developers in Dubai have purchased land in Sandbox. And then they're offering it. And they're saying that every business, like, and then my... Shout out Sparta Outsourcing. Sparta Outsourcing is like selling NFT project management, where it's like, yeah, the NFT developers are saying every business should have an NFT metaverse shop, you know.
Allocation.
They're like saying everything should be in the metaverse. And if you're a serious business, you're going to have like a McDonald's is in the metaverse. And people are just like, that's dumb. And it's like, well, you read about it in the news, so actually that's paid advertising, and it's actually smart because you're talking
about it. Yeah, and the Super Bowl happened. There is like all this like Super Bowl ads. So crypto is like, even though it's down, it's like still here. It's not going anywhere.
I have this secret feeling that like the institutions are just like buying all the coins like secretly somehow.
And I mean, why not?
Where they talk about how like fractional reserves of Bitcoin on these exchanges, like, it's just like the normal banks, like secretly, like they're all just trying to get people into debt, and they say that they own all the coins, but they're actually, the institutions are all themselves leveraged to the gills.
Yeah. Like what's that douche bank or Deutsche Bank? Deutsche Bank. Like the one that Trump's in with, like, aren't they like behind the scenes?
They're with the cartels, dude. Yeah. They literally talked about in 2008, like the cartels put their dirty money, and then they put liquidity in the markets because they just took dirty money from the Mexican drug dealers.
Yeah, like they're like filled with like blood diamond money too from
Mexico. Yeah, shut the banks, buy Bitcoin, and take them off the reserves. They're take them off the exchanges, but. No, man, on an interesting side note to, like, pivot.
Well, back to building. So, we have a guest, or we have Rishi again, and then Sikhat. Am I pronouncing that right? Sorry.
Yes.
They're building a company on internet computer called Go Bazinga. And so we have builders that are, you know, building during this bear market, so...
I mean, maybe Rishi can do the elevator pitch he's probably done a million times, but really I wanted
to... Well, do you want to introduce yourselves and, you know...
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Like, what's your background and, you know, how did you get started? How did you start Go Bazinga? And you know, and let's hear an origin story. How you guys met, all that good stuff.
I was there in the last podcast as well. And I think now a few users of your podcast will already know something about Go Bazinga and me. But essentially, I am an entrepreneur based out of India. This is our third startup together. We have been just doing different startups together. And this is the third one that we started. Again, we both come from software engineering backgrounds. I did my software engineering way back a decade back, I would say 2011, and similarly, Shoykat also graduated in 2013, post which we were working in multiple companies. And then we went in for our management studies together at one of the best universities here in India. Post which we got into the same company wherein we met Daniel as well. So Daniel, me, Shoykat, you were all working together in the same company in Bombay way back Drone in 2017. Yeah, Drona HQ. And that is where we all of us met and the story starts. We started one venture in the virtual reality space. We were mapping out hotels in 8K VR and giving out the access of all these hotels to a network of event planners. So basically wedding planners and you know other corporate event planners here in India. Business was quite successful and you know we were doing pretty well, had a team of 50 odd people. But then COVID hit, all the hotels shut down, all the events shut down. And that is where we thought of you know pivoting to another business model. Dabbled a bit in education technology because you know that was the main thing that was going on here in India. And all schools were closed. People, all children were sitting at their home while they wanted to study, but there were no means through which they could. And that is where we tried our hand in that space. And 6 months down the line, we realized that, you know, crypto is the space to be wherein, you know, all the major innovations are happening at this point in time. We started investing way back in 2017 together while we were working, you know, in Drona. So had quite a, you know, a lot of experiences while investing in different coins. And then the market started picking up in 2020, 2021. And that is where we started thinking of, you know, what can we do in this particular space? And, you know, for the first business that we were doing, we already were spending a lot of time on social media. And social media is one thing which Shoykat would also, you know, say a few words about. But essentially, I think like more or less now, everybody, I would say, in India, I can talk about that more or less everybody has some problems or, you know, some people have more problems with the current social media ecosystem. So with something like Instagram, you would see, you know, every other second post is an advertisement, at least in a country like India.
I thought you were going to say it was a girl showing her butt. But.
Yeah, and that is also true. Yeah, so if you really see all the creators who are earning money are the girls showing their, you know, breasts or their butts or and so on and so forth. And then 99% of the Indian population is just watching these videos, scrolling their, you know, time out, and all the financial rewards go back to the platforms like Instagram or Facebook. And that is what we started contemplating because we ourselves were spending, you know, a couple of hours daily while watching all these videos. And we realized that, you know, what if we can just monetize this time while people are interacting with the social media platform. So they are getting entertained and at the same time, they are also getting financial rewards. Started contemplating on these two lines and then came up with the idea of GoBazinga. So Shoykat, can you just take it from here?
Right. So with GoBazinga, what we essentially are trying to do is we want to build a decentralized platform where any creator can come in and host their content without having to give up control of their content to platforms like Facebook and Instagram and not have to worry about getting monetized and even not being rewarded for that monetization. So essentially, this platform is about creators where creators create content. They challenge other creators, their friends probably to create content which challenges their content and then they get rewarded for doing so and so with the tokens of the platform. And subsequently, they also, since these tokens are also used for governance, basically this doubles down as ownership. So since you're creating content on the platform, we reward you with tokens. You can either use those tokens to pay your food bills or you can use those tokens to vote for further changes to the platform. So essentially, you have ownership of the platform that you're creating on. And we would want to work with the community to build the next set of features that they request instead of things that we feel might bring more value to our investors, right? So that is like the 2-minute pitch of what we are doing.
But I mean, immediately I have and had so many questions for them. But Brian, maybe you have some of the obvious ones that I had as well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I see the definitely an issue with, you know, you click on an ad and or you click on a like a shopping and shopping site and you immediately get ads for it. And it's like, you know, Facebook is immediately selling your data or like, you know, like even
this would be it's a huge selling point to just be like, we're decentralized and we don't sell your data.
Yeah, we do not have any advertisement on our platform. But there's no advertisement.
What I had mentioned was then that creates a problem because it's like, okay, then how do we make money?
And that is what we have done, you know, in a really unique way. We have added a speculation layer on top of social media content, so which means you can just speculate on different content pieces and thereby, you know, just creating the demand for the token. So essentially, you can just say, if you're just watching a video, you can, you know, a simple speculation angle would be whether this video would go viral or not. And you can put up your 10, 20, 50, 100 tokens and, you know, get the rewards accordingly.
And then the thing is, people will get rewarded tokens, but people will want to purchase tokens to be able to participate, to post. So inbuilt are the mechanisms.
So who creates these questions or speculations for people to bet on, basically, right? Is it like GoBazinga or is it the user or?
Yeah. So from the marketing point of view, I'll just tell you, and from the technical point of view also, we can just talk about it at a later sense. You know, our platform of choice has been Internet Computer, which I think many people, at least in the US, is what I have been hearing, detest. And that was might just have happened because of the huge price fall.
They talk shit about it on Twitter.
It's more unknown, I'd say. I think it's
No one knows. And
it's
then
still
also
a top 50 coin, but like, you know, people don't really hear like Twitter of people building on it. So it's relatively unknown.
They call it IC. But I know it as ICP.
Yeah.
And then they don't know. Dude, you remember Kevin Dickey? I've always been friends with the Asian homies. he was big into heavy metal. ICP is Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah, that's also true.
Dude, and so there's ICP, which is Insane Clown Posse. If you're looking up crypto, you end up with heavy metal people dressed as clowns. And then Phantom. You type in Phantom, FTM is shorthand for
female to male transition.
Female to male transvestite. Yeah. And so it's like some of these coins should probably do a little research on Google before they decide to name their like.
But I mean, a lot of people will search by the name, full name, and not like the abbreviation.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. Depends on where you grew up and how you learned the web.
Email to mail. I've Googled FTM like 50 times and I still accidentally do it. At least it's saved on my, you know, corn market cap Phantom prices like there. Yeah. Otherwise, I've many times just keep going, okay, Phantom, what is it today?
Yeah, I don't know very many projects building on ICP. So that's also like a unique
and then this is like
a differentiator.
This would be a good time where we just give this stage to Shaikat. He's balls deep in the fucking environment. And not only are we a project on it, but he is an experienced developer that is mentoring people. He's in contact with all the people. He votes on the, you know, the governance approved changes and stuff. And additionally, GoBazinga has acquired a grant.
It's a grant program from the Internet Computer Foundation. So essentially, we are a grant awardee.
So then, you can trust us. So invest
your
money.
Do you want to talk about why you chose to build on ICP? I know you touched about it little last time, but maybe,
that's why we have the expert over here.
I want him to also get into like even just what the whole thing is about, because I still don't really understand it, honestly. And then. The people that actually talk about it, I'm sure, like this guy is like above and beyond whatever anybody on Twitter or whoever you've heard of. They don't actually know what's going on. So I'll shut up.
Yeah. To look at this from a perspective of cost, just to understand like why we even considered the ICP, right? So initially, we built a prototype on centralized services. We are primarily using Google Cloud and Cloudflare, but then to have a Web3 project, you need the tokens to be decentralized, right? And that is what most of the market is doing right now, where their actual content lives on AWS or their actual content lives on Google Cloud. But then the token Ledger is on something like Ethereum or maybe Matic or Cardano and so on and so forth, right? But there's a huge flaw in this approach where tomorrow, let's say the government doesn't like you. They can simply file a DMCA with AWS and they'll just take your network down. You'll still have the token saved somewhere on Ethereum, but your application is not usable anymore, right? The reason people primarily do this is, so if we take a look at something like a GB of data, to store a GB of data currently on Ethereum, you would need millions of dollars. That's the price that you need to pay just to store a simple gigabyte of data, which you can probably store on your phone, right? So that way, the blockchain doesn't yet scale. Most popular projects don't scale. Now, if you look at something like layer two solutions, they are sort of doing everything off-chain and then just creating proofs that they did that work and then they post that back to Ethereum. But it doesn't really make the problem go away, right? It's just you're sweeping all the dirty clothes under your separate laundry machine and then you sort of get them back and then you say, okay, my clothes are clean. The IC does things very differently. From the very get-go, they were a platform that was built to scale. So if I give you some numbers, it takes around just somewhere around $5 to store a gigabyte of data for a year on the IC. Wow. And that is very competitive to even something like AWS, who have like millions of servers deployed all across the world, right? And that is absolutely, like, even to this day, it blows my mind. Like, they put together some of the best cryptographers in the world. They got a team as good as Google. They paid them well. They got backing from A16Z. So Andreessen Horowitz has actually invested in them. They put together a fantastic team and they spent the last 3 years building in stealth and then they launched last year around May or June. So we were really hunting for a project that could sort of help us get to a scale of things like Facebook or Instagram. So if you want to build social media, it has to be very cheap to do all kinds of operations on it because we can't tell a user, hey, go to your MetaMask and pay us $4 for every like that you want to send your friend, right? That doesn't make sense at all. And again, $4 is like the very low end of what Ethereum transactions can do. Today, you hear about somebody minting an NFT, buying an NFT for $20, but they're paying $200 in gas fees, which is absolutely bonkers.
Right? Yep.
So with the IC, we sort of found out that you don't just need to store your transaction data, but all data on chain all the time. It is auditable, it is verifiable. So this in itself makes this chain light years ahead of anything else available on the market right now.
Yeah, so especially if you're having a social media platform, you need to store the data, right? All the videos. Yeah. And I'm sure everyone's videos is, you notice on your phone how much a video takes up on your phone.
Right.
So you need a scalable solution for that.
Yeah. And so we did a lot of research. We considered level two solutions. We looked at Cardano, who is supposed to be the Gen 2 chain, right? Charles Hoskinson behind it and everything. But ultimately, we found that only the IC meta needs. And we started building on it. And the team has been really helpful. They have supported us on every way. Like, they gave us a grant and that sort of helped us build in stealth for the last 6 months or so. We've been building and we've been doing very minimal outreach in terms of investor outreach or trying to get users to sign up on the platform. And we plan to release this in like the next couple of weeks. We're just fixing a few things here and there, the last touch ups, and then we plan to release.
Cool, like a beta kind of like
So it'll be something like a test network where we invite users to come in and try to break the system, do all kinds of bonkers, like go wild on the system. And then we sort of take a step back and reevaluate what are things that we can improve and subsequently launch our mainnet.
You should just keep asking him questions, Brian, because honestly, I hear him talking, I feel like my investments are safe. They're safe. They're not with Sifu.
So I guess like I'm not familiar with ICP, like how would one like play around on ICP? Like do you need to like connect them, or are they compatible with like MetaMask or something? Like, or do you have to like add the ICP network, or do you need to like download your own ICP wallet, or how does that work?
Right. So again, this is one of the very conducive or one of the elegant things about the ICP is you don't need another browser extension or another mobile app to interact with it. It just needs you to have a browser. Everybody has a browser on their system, be it Safari, be it Google Chrome, be it Firefox, whatever. You visit the IC's mainnet. So you can type out nns.ic0.app. So that will take you to where you can stake your ICP, where you can purchase, where you can sort of convert tokens. You can stake your tokens, you can create canisters. So canisters are this entire universe of applications that are basically like the basic unit of building on the ICP. So any dApp that you deploy on the Ethereum is called a smart contract. On the ICP, they are called canisters. And they are like scalable mini units that can go up to like very high levels of traffic. Like they can take whatever traffic you can throw on them. And this, it's a kind of a new way of building apps, but yeah, like we expect this to like really take off. Again, it needs a bit of awareness at this stage, but all you need is to use your browser to visit the ICO.
I get it. So it's like nns.ic0.app.
Yeah. And right. And for people who are more familiar with a browser extension kind of a wallet, like people who are familiar with MetaMask, there are third-party developers who have built tools like there's something called the Plug Wallet, and there's something called, I'm forgetting the other name of the wallet. So there's a bunch of other wallets that are also available which integrate with the ICP. So basically, if you want a familiar interface like MetaMask, there's go get a Plug Wallet, install it on your browser, and you can even have that system.
So, but, so to like theoretically buy your Gobzinga token and like store, you would just basically have everything within that ICP browser, right?
Yes. So,
but if you want to bridge or anything, you would have to use a MetaMask or like any compatible wallet, right?
So when we're talking of bridging, are we talking about building, like bringing other currencies onto our platform, or what exactly do we talk about when we talk about bridging?
Like, I guess like, you know, you're earning this token, right? How would you convert it back to your native currency to actually like use, or like, you know, lock in profits?
Yeah. So right now we would be reliant on decentralized exchanges. So just like you have Uniswap for Ethereum, there are a few decentralized exchanges being built on the IC. So there's something called Sonic that has recently launched. And there's like around 6 or 7 of these going to be launching in the next 2 to 3 months. There's a few more. A very impressive team called Infinity Swap is also building a DEX on the IC. And again, these are like funded by big guys. So some of them have received funding from something called Polychain Capital. So again, you can look these things up. But the point is, there's a lot of impressive builders building things in stealth and sort of getting ready to change the world, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, just to come back to what you were asking. So for our token, we are only limited to sending and receiving tokens on our network for the time being. But essentially what we expect is once the community converges on the de facto decentralized exchange to use, we are going to integrate with them, and then you can buy ICP from Coinbase or Binance or whatever and exchange your ICP for Gobzinga tokens on a decentralized exchange.
Got it. So I guess they, I'm just looking into it more, and they have like their own wallet. It's called like the NN, or is like the overall browser called like the NNS app?
Right. So the NNS stands for the Network Nervous System, and the way they've architected it is, so imagine like you have a Coinbase account, right?
Yeah.
So Coinbase has custody of the tokens that you buy with Coinbase, right? But then the fact is Coinbase is a centralized authority. So you have to trust in their capability to keep your funds safe, right? With something like Ethereum, you don't really have Ethereum storing your token. So what you use is a third-party extension like MetaMask to keep custody.
Yeah.
With the IC, the network has a built-in capability like Binance or like Coinbase for it to keep custody. But then it's not a centralized service. It's a decentralized network. So if you trust in the ICP, you trust in its ability to keep that custody of your tokens, but still have only you be able to interact with it. Right? And yeah, you do that.
I think it's kind of similar to like, have you used like the Taro wallet or like, you know, Atom or Cosmo where, like the whole wallet is kind of like the app, right? Like, or like the app is kind of like, it's kind of like interchangeable where it's like, you know, you can swap stuff. You know, it has your own address.
And all the Web2 user would experience the web. So in the Web2 world, you don't really think about wallets and keeping custody offline and all these other shenanigans that as Web3 users, we have gotten used to. So most Web2 people find that intimidating, that step of, okay, I need to first, if I even need to think of buying Bitcoin, first I need to get it on an exchange. Then if I want to store it securely, I need to either have a hardware wallet where I need to buy another piece of device and then somehow figure out all the song and dance to get it stored securely, right? And
yeah, I'm trying to like figure it out myself. Like,
Right. And the thing is, we as Web3 users, we've sort of accepted that as the de facto standard, but it doesn't have to be that hard. If we trust in the network, why not keep all that data on the network itself? Why do we have to take it out and sort of hide it under our garage or whatever, right?
Yeah, but I think there is that you need that, you know, I think it helps that Coinbase, you can buy ICP off Coinbase already. So it's like you need that centralized exchange to convert your, you know, native currency, your USD or into that decentralized token. So I think it helps that ICP is already pretty accessible, that it's on like a tier one exchange. You know, for Harmony, for example, right? Like that's a headache to go through. You have to, you know, go to KuCoin and, you know, KuCoin only goes USDT pairs. And they have their own wallet extension. And that was probably one of the more complicated layer ones I have experienced.
And so once you have it on Coinbase, then you can just take it out of Coinbase and put it inside the network. So ICP has another elegant solution called the internet identity. So what the internet identity is, basically think of it like sign in with Facebook or sign in with Google, but it's much more secure in that the keys, the public and private key pairs actually live on your device itself. So you use something like biometric, like your fingerprint or your face to unlock, just like how you use it to unlock your iPhone. Similarly, you get to use that to use internet identity. And basically that becomes your gateway to all applications on the IC. So say, for example, if you want to create an account on our platform, let's say GoBazinga, you can just use the same internet identity that you use to stake your ICP tokens on the NNS.
So right? GoBazinga will be an app within ICP that network, right?
It's just another portal. It's just another website, right? You go there, you sign up for a new identity, and you have a anonymous and private identity that you can use across all apps on the IC. Mm-hmm. Be it the NNS to stake your coins, or be it GoBazinga to send tokens, GoBazinga tokens to your friend.
Yep.
Right. So you don't need any wallet. You don't need hardware wallets. You don't need to do all that song and dance to do it. You can do it if you choose to. You can use hardware wallets to securely store them, but that's up to you, right? You get that choice where you're not forced to learn all these complicated layers just to be able to experiment with something so simple.
Yeah. So I guess, so anyone can just make videos, right? They don't need to like pay initial fee to, you know, make a video and upload it to GoBazinga and then.
Yeah. Right now there's no fees. There's nothing involved between you and creating the video that you want to. You just pick up your phone. You go to our test network. You sign up with an internet identity and then you can upload as many videos as you want. You can tag your friends, you can share those with your friends, and you can even invite them to come onto the platform and sort of challenge you for the title of who wins your particular challenge, right?
Yeah.
So it's into everything. There's no fees involved.
Yeah. So do you, I guess what the challenge, I guess with any, you know, crypto or currency is try to get users or try to onboard people. I guess, right. Like, what do you think are like the, what do you foresee are would be like the difficulties? Cause like we just like kind of walk through the process of, you know, just trying to get ICP, you know, get enter their network or their main network, you know, right. Like they have to do that. And then they have to start making videos within, they have to learn how to use it.
So we've tried to simplify the experience as much as possible. You just go to our website, you sign up with an account, and then you're good to go. Right. However, this would mostly interest Web3 users at the moment is what we think. And it would even be specifically IC maximalists or IC enthusiasts who would actually want to try this out before even like share it with their friends. But once that happens, what we think is we need to be more open and invite Web2 users in. And I think Rishi has more opinions on how to get that done.
Yeah. So essentially, what we are thinking is, as Shoykat rightly mentioned, we'll reach out to all the IC maximalists. So, you know, all the people who are investing in other IC projects. There's a, you know, coin drop offering while we launch, and post which people will also be able to earn coins just to interact with the platform. So that will start from day one after we launch the platform. So that is another thing that will be beneficial for anybody. Once we cater to the Web3 users on the IC, then only we'll start reaching out to the Web2 users. We already have a, you know, couple of plans for that. So India is a country of, 1.5 billion people. So 150 crore people in India. You have, you know, our median age is around 30. So which means, there are just a whole lot of young people, using their smartphones, like more than 600, 700 million smartphones right now being used by the young a lot. So everybody has access to internet and everybody has access to their smartphones and everybody wants to earn money while they are, you know, younger. So from the age of 15, 16, you start while you are in college, then while you're studying until the time you start your first job. So our plan is to reach out to these people, not just through, you know, marketing, through, you know, the existing social media channels, but through an offline channel, like, having campus ambassadors. So there are thousands hundreds of thousands of colleges and universities and schools in India. We hope to, you know, get campus ambassadors from these universities, these colleges, and then subsequently, just extend our name of the Go Buzzing app and the entire platform through this particular channel to all these, you know, different people in those particular universities. So that is the second way that we are hoping to, you know, cater to once we run out of the, Web3 user base. And the next thing would be to, you know, get people from existing social media platforms, something like Instagram, Facebook, where they, you know, where they are currently. We'll start finding influencers on these platforms and, we'll start distributing our Go Buzzing a platform through the current influencers on existing social media. So that is the third
At the end of the day, we just want to create a fun platform for a younger generation to play with and interact with, right? Because right now, if you look at Instagram and its brothers and sisters, they just want to monetize your time and money, but don't want to give anything back to you. But like, if you look at college kids, they spend 3 hours, 4 hours a day on these platforms, but they don't get anything in return. Ideally, we think Go Buzzing can be a fun little platform where they bring their friends to and have fun and get paid for the pocket money that they might not be able to get on other platforms, right? So Initially, they can just spend a bit of time, get paid in tokens. They turn those tokens into money that can just pay for their, the weekend trips or the fun that they want to have.
Yeah, so each and every video that you upload, you start earning tokens from day one. You do not have to wait for a couple of years now just to earn your first, you know, USD.
I think the interesting thing too, and it's like I've been playing the role of the red team where it's, you know, whatever could go wrong, you know, what's the worst that could happen? But in a flip side, if you're an influencer and then you can earn a lot of tokens if you're a popular influencer, sweet.
I was about to say,
there are people on Twitter that are putting out fire content.
So
or they have to monetize it through like, oh, buy my shirt.
Well, I was about to say, like, can you, like, you know how people post the same video on TikTok on Instagram, right? Where, like, they'll post on TikTok and then they'll make that same thing on a reel. You know, is it possible that, you know, whatever, you know, video they make on Instagram, they can just, you know, upload it to ICP.
There's already APIs and connectors to other social media.
So that's also like a...
So you just have to create a, you know, video once and you're good to go, you know? And generally what happens while you're creating these short video platform, like short videos also at this point of time, there are many other applications in the Web2 world through which you can just create videos. It is just not necessary that you use TikTok's tools or Instagram's tools. You can just use a third party tool and create your own video and upload it at, you know, different social media platforms that you would want to.
It makes it easier for, you know, Web2 people too, because they already make the video, you know, in a centralized platform, for example, and then they're just uploading it to a decentralized network. So that makes, you know, it easier that they don't have to create videos, you know, on the app.
Right. And Brian, I think that's actually a deeper question. So if you look at the behavior, like, why do people create a single video and then need to distribute it across all channels? The reason is it goes back to the fact that these platforms absorbed most of the value that is actually created from these videos. So hence they need to pick every penny from each of these platforms just to make their rent, right? They're creating content, but then they don't get rewarded for it. All of that value is gobbled up by these huge behemoths who just want to make money for their shareholders, but the actual users of the platform are suffering and they are having their data harvested. They're having their secrets stolen and they're having all that sold on the black market, right? So we want to create a platform where it's fair to them and the fact that they can have ownership. So they just don't have to be a consumer and, like, they don't have to be viewed as the meat to the slaughter, right? They can actually have ownership of the platform and they can also use that to create content. So it's like, have your cake and eat it too.
For sure. Yeah, this kind of like, I don't know, like non-PG, it's kind of like, I mean, how OnlyFans gives power, you know, back to the creator, right? There's no middleman. You're not dealing with the middleman, you know, or like, you know, how Spotify, you know, artists, you know, needs to have like a million streams just to like make like $5. So this is a way to, you know, just cut out the middleman. And I think that, you know, that's just a general, you know, blockchain theme.
Right. And it's funny that you brought up OnlyFans. So if you look at the history of OnlyFans, they've been very pro-user up till the point that Visa threatened to stop their payment channels when they had NSFW content, right? So, and just because they had the power to stop NSFW creators from creating content, they pulled the plug. They weren't even hesitant about it. And only when it again started hitting their bottom line, where they're like, okay, we care about you and we care about our creators and we'll give you back your power. But the thing is, why would you even have that power with the people at the top in the first place? So if you are on a decentralized network, you are the owners. So essentially what we are pitching over here is, with GoBazinga tokens, you have ownership. And you are the one who decides whether a particular decision goes through or it doesn't, right? So if you have governance tokens for every decision that we make, you are the person who decides whether this particular decision should harm me or this benefits me, and accordingly take a vote on it, right? And whatever benefits the broad ecosystem is what gets implemented in the system.
Got it. I mean, yeah. So I guess the next like area is like kind of like the tokenomics, right? Like you can earn these tokens, right? It's good to, you know, but like having them like worth anything, or like, you know, how you have like VCs dumping. So like, I guess like, do you want to go into kind of like tokenomics, or like how much is in circulation, or like, you know, how much goes to the owners? What are your plans?
You really should, like, Brian, I mean, when are you investing? How do you invest? These are questions that they should answer. But before then, they need to answer all your questions about tokenomics, you know?
Yeah, that's what I just asked.
I know. So first tokenomics, and then how do you invest? Call me and Rishi, you know, give us your money. But first things first, what you just asked, tokenomics.
I think you're one step ahead of me.
No, you take it on
the sure. So there are two thoughts that I want to put through over here. So just to blatantly answer your question, the tokenomics of our system are currently they're unbounded. So there's an unlimited supply, right? So that might have already given you the heebie-jeebies and you're like, okay, I need to get out right now. This call is over, right? But wait, that's more. So the thing is, right now the system mints tokens whenever somebody gives you a like. And if you think about it, like logically, all these platforms, every like is equal to engagement for them. So if somebody is giving you a like, that means that was an engagement created on the platform by your user visiting that platform, right? And that is essentially what gets monetized on these platforms as well. Now, the thing is, this value comes from new users visiting the system. So if you have traffic on Facebook, that is what is creating value for Facebook. And this is indicated by that traffic giving likes to content created by creators. So in our system, the way things work is if users come into the platform, essentially those users are the ones who are bringing in new value, right? And those users are giving likes to content already on the platform, which generates an equal number of tokens on the platform. And essentially, the more users that we have, the more tokens there will be in supply. But if users go away, that supply gets decreased. And we have a few burning mechanisms that we are planning. But to answer your question, we have an unbounded supply, but then it is bounded by the fact that there will only be so many tokens as the number of active users on the platform. Does that answer your question?
Majority of it. So I guess just a scenario, I don't know, are you familiar with like Axies and how they had like the SLP, that like some kind of love potion or something, which was unlimited supply.
Yeah.
And then people would just earn that SLP and then just immediately sell, right? Like, you know, that's like a kind of a scenario in this where, you know, people immediately they get like a likes and then they immediately sell, right? And so that, you know, just deflates the price.
Right. So this is a great segue to the part where we talk about the burning mechanism. So a few of these would be, so ideally the token that we have is universal for our platform. So we use the same token to give likes. We use the same token for governance, but we also use it for things like creating challenges. So essentially our platform has a set format where you as a creator can create a challenge and you can share that with your friends for them to participate in, right? And then as your friends create more challenges that challenge your initial creation, basically that creates like an entire series of content pieces which are around this one theme, right? And again, it's very similar to how all these other platforms group your interest basically by like something like a hashtag. So if you're creating, let's say, a moonwalk challenge, you would tag it with hashtag moonwalk and hashtag dance and so on and so forth. And then other people can also discover this organically, or you can share it out with their friends and they go on to share it with their friends. And everybody creates a short piece of video content that gets uploaded to the platform. Now, new users who are coming to the platform, or even existing users who are logged into the platform, can pick the best ones that they like, right? And this is the content that flows to the top organically. So there's no algorithm choosing what you need to watch it and when you need to watch it and then serving you advertisements in between. Essentially, It's the people watching the content who are upvoting the best content to the top, and that gets fed into the feed of anybody who's a passive observer or a lurker, right? Now, the thing is, these tokens also need to be used for things like creating new challenges or things like rewarding, like adding boosts or bounties to your existing challenges. So that is sort of a burn mechanism. So if you want to interact with the platform, you have to keep some tokens around to use them, to burn them, and so on.
So to create a challenge, you need to like pay like 15 tokens or something.
Right. So that would sort of be like a burn mechanism where we need these tokens to be there in your wallet.
To keep it in the ecosystem.
Right. So there's a usage for these tokens, and then you can't just keep selling every token that you immediately receive, because then you're just you won't be able to participate in the system itself.
Yeah. So there's definitely, it's not like it might be inflationary, but there's utility with it. So.
Right. And it will eventually turn deflationary is how we envision it, because right now it is inflationary because we want users to be able to participate.
You gotta attract users. Yep.
So the network needs to give out rewards so that users can send it to each other and figure out, like, play with it, right? But at some point in the future, if more people are participating and using it, then eventually it turns deflationary.
Are there going to be, like, I guess, incentives to attract, like, new users to, like, use the platform? I know, like...
Yes, yes.
You know, Jewel, right? Like, yeah. You know, the DeFi kingdoms.
Right. So we have a bunch of... things that we have planned, mostly around gamifying your participation and keeping you engaged. But these are things that we want to build further on. So right now we are focusing on the core infrastructure. We want to make the core parts of your experience, things like being able to create a challenge, being able to share it with your friends, sending tokens to each other. Right? These are like the core parts of it, and we want to nail them down perfectly. So right now we are focusing on these things, but we do have a... Right. But we do have a bunch of other plans around gamifying it so that you as a user using the platform have fun with it, right? Because at the end of the day, that's what matters. And if you have fun with it, you're going to tell your friends about it. If you don't have fun with it, there are 10 other platforms that you could probably be spending your time.
Yeah. So I guess next is like kind of like the competition, right? Like, are you guys the only social media platform currently building an ICP? I guess I know that there's other social media related things on different chains.
He's in the network. I've spoken with him about it, and I want to steer him into the conversation of like, this guy is like an ICP influencer, so to speak. Like he's in the community, and what he was telling me is that they're building decentralized. The decentralized projects are going for. They're going at Web 2, decentralized Gmail. Yeah, fuck Google. I have friends at Google. Shout out Ben. They're evil. They were in it for Joe Biden, and now we've got a Ukraine war. Cool.
I don't know if you can blame the whole war on Biden. Can you?
Well, Beijing Biden is in the pocket of, you know, Hunter Biden's. Nah, I'm just fucking around.
Isn't
joking,
Trump but, the same thing with the
not financial advice, not legal advice. We didn't mention it today. We've got to do it on every legit. There's some laws that are like they might come for BitBoy. You know,
good that guy in the like U.S. terrible. What's that? What's that guy that meme have? What's that guy who's like that TikTok where he's like, I invested. Boy, in... Yeah, that guy.
Oh, that's that big boy.
Moon Carl.
He's in his Lambo. It's like, this is
who's like, I invested in over 100 crypto companies. This is how I afford my Bugatti. But it's like, he's like, they track his tweets. He tells you to buy the dip at every single fucking dip, like, and it just keeps on dropping.
Yeah. But no, Saika, you want to explain like what else is being built on ICP?
Right. So I think the question was around competition. The thing is, what what we've noticed right now is most projects building on the ICP, they realize that this platform can essentially replace their traditional cloud stack. So essentially, if you were building on the AWS, if you're building on Google Cloud or Microsoft or what have you, this IC stack can replace that entire piece of infrastructure. So you can build an application that is truly decentralized. And that opens up the door to not just something like DeFi or GameFi, but it opens up the door to every application that is possible in a Web2 world. So people are like, there's a lot of utility that needs to be built on DeFi, but in a decentralized way. So things like your email, things like your chat application, things like Reddit, for example, a lot of those applications are being built on the IC. So there's something called OpenChat, which is like a direct thing that you would map onto your WhatsApp. So you can drop WhatsApp today and start using OpenChat and invite all your friends, and you would have no trouble doing all the things that you were doing on WhatsApp. Again, there's a similar app called Dmail that is trying to disrupt Gmail's usage. You have something called District, which is sort of taking a stab at Twitter. Essentially, is the same short form content, but in a decentralized network, and so on and so forth, right? So there's a bunch of applications that are building Web2 projects, but we believe like to really push us over the edge, we sort of need to innovate and even sort of look at current Web2 trends and then sort of try to even strip away the vestigial parts of it and build something that is truly unique and new.
Yeah, Web2 app in Web3 doesn't really excite me. Like Gmail, like, I mean, who cares? Like, honestly, to me, if it's, you know, encrypted, I guess, you know, that's why you have like, you know, Telegram, right? It's like the reason for that encryption, but
some of the things that I looked at though was the idea of why do you need Web3 and for what? Okay, I'm okay with giving personal information and access for Gmail, but Web3 is necessary for things like gambling. Yeah. Basically, GoBazing is allowing you to gamble on social media.
No, yeah, yeah.
Also, censorship. Also, personal transfers of money. You'll be allowed to transfer tokens, and then they told me, you know, yeah, look. There are tokens, and then I can transfer them to people person to person. I was like, sick, we can launder money. Awesome. Yeah. This is a great selling point. And we are not joking financial. Around, but I'm like, dead serious. Yeah, not financial. Yeah. Not legal advice.
Not legal advice.
But I was like, look at the fucking Canadians, man. They're fucked.
Right. So the thing is, again, we're trying to simplify these processes. How you use them are up to you. So if you look at splitting the atom, right? Some people built atomic bombs, but some people built nuclear power reactors for clean energy, right? So it's up to you, the individual, on how you want to use it. We are building infrastructure and we are building tools. You can use a hammer to hammer nails, or you can use it to murder somebody. It's up to you.
I think Brian's point, though, is why are these necessary? And
I think we hammered that point, though, why it's necessary is that we can monetize, you know, our social interactions. Yeah. And that's powerful in itself and a more efficient economic model.
That's the whole thing. Is because.
Go ahead.
Right. And just to talk about the fact that Dan mentioned, right? So I had actually over a conversation, I had showed him how easy it is to send tokens between users. And the reason I wanted to highlight this is we want to show you how easy it is to transfer money when you're doing it like in a P2P scenario, in a peer-to-peer scenario, right? If I want to send money to my friend, I know what his Instagram is. I visit it every day. I follow him. I know who he is, right? So if there was just a button over there that said, send my friend so-and-so dollars, that would be the easiest, but we don't do that. We first have to log into our bank account. We have to go to Chase or we have to go to Wells Fargo. We have to log in. We have to put in a bunch of details to make sure that the IRS knows about it. And then ultimately we are able to send money to them, right? And even that process, the bank probably eats up a bunch of transaction fees, which makes no sense. Like, why would I give them that, right?
Yeah, and especially for gambling too.
Consult. Obviously, IRS has its place and your taxes, but that is the individual's, like, it is the individual's responsibility. We don't want to get into that, right? We are not middlemen who want to tell you what you can and can't do, right? So that is where we are coming from.
So essentially, we just give you the infrastructure, post which, you know, it is up to you to decide whether you would want to create challenges with that money, you would want to send it to your friends, you would want to participate, you would want to bet. It's everything. So it's a combination of DeFi on social media is I would want to, you know, how I would want to.
I know how deeply Shaikat feels about this. At the end of the day, we're looking to build a good product that people like to use.
Yeah,
that's a sincere thing. And I've been anxious about it. I've been poking holes. And now I've seen the light. I've spent time with these guys. This guy really wants to just build a product that people like without the problems that come with centralized social media apps that are blood-sucking their users. Facebook plays with hateful content to mess with people and increase engagement.
So Twitter what about is
censoring? I think, yeah.
So people. What about this platform though? Like, you know, like what if like white supremacists, you know, make racist TikToks or something?
What if it's OnlyFans thoughts? What if it's TikToks? What if it's like child porn? What if it's Mexican mafia members cutting people's heads? What if it's just straight hentai?
Right. So again, I'll go back to that.
Yeah. Analogy, what?
Right?
I don't know.
We are giving you like it's up to you what you choose to do with that hammer, and we are even giving you the tools to decide if that hammer gets to be used a certain way. Right. So you have the governance tokens. You decide if you want a particular content off the platform. You vote, and it's gone forever. Right. But
yeah. It's what if Tetranode buys all the tokens?
Well, if Tetranode buys all the tokens, they've made a huge investment. So why would they want to spoil their investment rather than build it up, right?
Yeah, I don't know, but the child porn is kind of scary, dude.
We've already discussed that stuff where there will be some certain levels of content moderation where, you know, illegal stuff. But I've been talking to them about how are we truth social media? Are we an OnlyFans? Are we this or that? And really, I think that at the end of the day, though, what he says, take it at face value. We're for everybody.
That's right.
It will be the decentralized. Can you imagine a Twitter without the censorship of the fucking right wing people? They cancel right wing people. And I'm not saying I'm right wing, but you see who's getting censored. They censored Defiant L's just for reposting people's tweets. Like, we just think that we will create a product that will be good, and then the censorship will be less, and then there will be more transparency, and we'll be giving back to the community. It's a similar thing to Looks Rare. OpenSea didn't make a token. Why the fuck not? The people that spend time on our platform will get rewarded. Like, I've been pushing and pushing against them, but no, yeah, man. I'm invested in many ways, financially, monetary, or like with my time as well, because I believe in the idea that they're building.
Right. And if just to sort of summarize that, so the philosophy that we have is we want to build a product that you would want to share with your loved ones, right? So I think I'm borrowing from Steve Jobs when I say this. But like we're talking about how do we make money and all those things. But at the end of the day, we want to be able to give this to a loved one and be content knowing that we built this with love and care and we would give it to them. So contrast that with something like what Facebook does, right? So if you are aware, so Mark Zuckerberg actually doesn't have a Facebook account and he doesn't let any of his near and loved ones near a Facebook account. The reason is because he knows it's shit for you, but he doesn't care. Like, let the common people rot, but we'll have our bag of riches. Like, but we don't believe in that. We want a platform where it's fair for the end user and they get to decide what they want to do with it.
And I would mention one thing, like, I have all these worries and stuff. And like, you know, I've been picking apart everything. They had launched an MVP, When you look at it, yeah, dude, it's like, I'll be honest. It's like teenage people, like, flexing their muscles, and it's people dancing, and it's like, nice photographs, you know?
What's really that, MVP? Cool, short, is that what you said?
Minimal viable product.
Minimal viable.
They launched like a, like a test. They got 10,000 people. And if you challenge people with videos, like, this is the innovation where we aren't just copying what's already been done. There is some innovation. There are some new ideas. He doesn't want to just copy stuff and put it on Web3. And then even if it makes sense to just copy a Twitter or a whatever, a YouTube, and put it on Web3, that's not what we're doing. There are some innovations where this is like different, and it's fun because you start challenging people, you start comparing each other's videos. And then what do people actually do? No, they're not just posting child porn and dick pics and like Mexican mafia murders. They're not posting people throwing gays off buildings. It's wholesome content. It's like, typically, I mean, what are some of the challenges? Moonwalk or Bollywood fucking dun dun dun, you know? It's the fucking TikTok shit. But you get paid for it back. Like, this is obvious. Why give all the money to TikTok? Just give some back to the users. And then the investors still get some back, but it's about building for the community. You clearly can tell he wants the community to give him feedback, and we'll keep adding features. This is obviously, I had talked with Rishi about it, and we all worked at Drona. Nowadays, software is not static. You don't build a product. You don't send a CD of Warcraft 3 and then say nothing.
And yeah, then send another. It's not a kind CD environment type of deal.
It's all iterative. It's all constantly being, man, every time I'm so annoyed how often my phone has to fucking update. It's tiresome. Not only do you have to update the apps, you have to update the operating system and blah, blah, blah. But this is the world we live in. We will not stop building. This guy is not going to stop building, you know, and he's not going to not listen to the community.
Nice. Well, I answered like all the technical questions.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Yeah, so, no, and like Psycho's got like 10, 20 minutes before he has to leave. But
so do you want to, like,
it's not technically a typical podcast, you know, that we do. I mean,
no, this is very informative. I really like, I think this is really good. But should we, you know, as our, you know, kind of show, or like, you know, like, how will people be able to like invest in the future, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, we're shilling GoBazinga fucking hard, so we might as well just go and shill it.
So right now we would just want to promote our Twitter. You follow us on Twitter, and in the next couple of months we have a whole new slew of exciting updates coming out. So you'll get to know it all from Twitter, and subsequently we'll go live in around a month or so. Worst case a month, best case 2 weeks.
Sounds good. I'll be watching.
Nah, so essentially, we'll go live with the beta platform, and in the next 4 to 6 odd months, we are planning to, you know, try getting it listed on one of the DEXs on the IC. But that is still uncertain because those projects are also still getting made on the IC ecosystem itself. So yeah, so just follow us on Twitter and you know, other social media platforms, and just hear you know, all updates from us. I'm sure that you would like the new way of social media that we are creating.
But personal investors can reach out to Rishi or myself.
Yeah. So Daniel or me, we can just share.
And the terms, I mean, we can sell coins, we can sell equity, 10K minimum price for equity offerings. Otherwise, pre-sale of the ICO, I think that the pricing is at 10 cents, but it will increase to 20 cents after our first round is filled.
Yeah.
So early bird special, buy the tokens now or else they'll be more expensive later.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I think that was a good switch up from our typical podcast.
Yeah. Let's just call it.
Yeah.
I know. It's a different thing, and we can do stuff like this in the future, but
Now, yeah, this is we'll could be a bear market preview of what our podcast might be like. But yeah, that was our latest episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. I think that's like 38, episode 38. So that's like it's February.
It's almost we're up on a year. We'll have to have an anniversary.
It's actually coming up. It's like 2 months. It's kind of funny.
Yeah,
but that was our the latest episode. Thank you for listening.